Jesus is the door through an uncertain future. Amen. I guarantee you right now, none of us know what the future holds. None of us know what the future holds. But one thing we do know today, we know who holds the future. Praise God. And as long as we keep our hands in God's hand, praise God. Let me tell you something. That uncertain future is going to be a bright one. Amen. So all I want you to do is just continue to walk in the future of him, knowing, Lord God, that with him on your side, praise God, that everything is going to be all right. So he is the door. He's the door through, praise God, uncertain futures. But not only that, Jesus is the door through the difficulties that may lie before us. Amen. I was just listening and picking up on some things. Some of us may be going through some things right now that maybe nobody knows but us and God. Amen. Nobody knows. But I want to remind us that whatever it is that we are going through now, amen, or what we may be going through on tomorrow, praise God, just remember that Jesus is the door through the most difficult situation in your life. Don't you know that there's nothing too hard for God? Amen. Not a thing. Amen. When I was developing this, I was sitting back and I was thinking about King Jehoshaphat. Praise God, back in the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Praise God. Y'all know the story. Praise God. Jehoshaphat, praise God, was a king who followed after God. Praise God. He came after his father Asa. Praise God. And he followed the word of God. Praise God. And then he came up against the mighty forces of the Amorites, the Moabites, and those of Mount Seir. Praise God. And God had to remind Jehoshaphat, praise God, through a prophet. Praise God. He said, now, I don't want you to get dismayed, praise God, because of their mighty strength. Neither do I want you to be afraid. Because you see, this battle that's getting ready to occur, this battle is not yours. But this battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. So he is the door through the most difficult situations that we will ever face in our life. Amen. Finally, he is the door through the curtain of death. Amen. I didn't know if I was going to, how that was going to hit this morning.
Yeah, Pastor.
I thank the Lord for using you this morning. Praise God. He is the door through the curtain of death. Praise God. Because if we haven't realized it yet, praise God, you can look at your neighbor right now. And most people don't want to do this. They think that's sort of morbid. Praise God, you can look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, neighbor, one of these good old days, we are going to die physically. Amen. And when the pain of death, praise God, come upon us, praise God, we got to remember, praise God, what David said. Amen. In the 23rd Psalm, verse 4, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will feel no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That tells me, praise God, that when I get to the point where I'm getting ready to cross over that chilly Jordan.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast. You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
I would that you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Now, I wanted to preach a nice little Mother's Day sermon, but the Spirit told me to go where he wanted me to go. Amen. And so I have to do what the Spirit tells me to do. I love to lift everybody up, so that's the reason I told you earlier, Happy Mother's Day, and I hope you have a blessed day and the like. Amen. And so would y'all just stand with us, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I want to read beginning at verse number 4. We were coming from verse 1 through 9, but I'm just going to read beginning that. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
Anybody need a little more time? Somebody say hold up. Okay. Come on. All right. Y'all got it? All right. For it reads, for while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. God our Father, we come now thanking you for all that have gone on thus far. We thank you for all the mothers present, and we pray your blessings upon all mothers all over the world. But now, Lord, we just ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to move freely in our midst, and then grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit, and in that anointing grant us preaching power. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. For while one says, I am of Paul, another, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but minister by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? For a little while, I want to talk from the subject, a fan or a follower. Simply put, are you a fan of Jesus or are you a follower of Jesus? Let me begin by saying that we are all called to be followers of Jesus Christ, which should supersede any fan tendencies that we might exhibit. Thank you, Ursus. But now, to follow means to come after. According to Mark 2 and 14, where we see Jesus saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed Jesus. To follow means to be actively committed to a leader regardless of the cost. And that's why Jesus declared in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In other words, each person has the responsibility to choose who or what he or she will follow, whether they will follow the ways of the world or the ways of the Lord. Now, we may have our favorites, but our responsibility to follow transcends our, yes, Lord, temptation to favoritism. And yet I believe that one of the challenges that ancient and modern Christians have to face is to make the distinction and the ultimate transition from being a fan to becoming a follower. Because the one thing about fans is that but Jones, fans can be fickle. In other words, fans can change just like the weather. For instance, when Moses delivered the children of Israel from Egyptian slavery, just as soon as they thought that they were trapped down by the Red Sea, they turned on Moses. As a matter of fact, all the way on their journey to the promised land, whenever things went wrong, they turned on Moses. And you know, in the same way in the church today, because of a fan mentality, sometimes pastors have to almost sneak away from the church, because many times if he announces that he's not going to be present for Bible study or morning worship, those with that fan mentality will take off or stay home or either visit somebody else's church and give their money elsewhere. But when the money and the attendance of their own church many times begin to fall off, all of a sudden they turn and say it's the pastor's fault. Because fans can be with you one day and against you the next day. Now, Jesus knew all about fans because on Palm Sunday, yes, Lord, when he made his triumphant entry into the city, he had a bunch of fans, and they were cheering him on, crying, "Hosanna, the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, praise God in the highest heavens." But those same folk, when there was a choice between letting Barabbas, a criminal, go or Jesus, they cried, "Crucify him." Are y'all here? Jesus had fans also when he was in the desert, where he fed 5,000 folk with 3 fish and 5 little pieces of bread. But when he said, according to John 6:51, that he was the bread of life that come down from heaven, and he who eats this bread will live forever, we know that John 6:66 says, from that time many of his followers went back and walked with him no more. My brothers and sisters, God always had fans when things were going well, but just as soon as things get to going wrong, just as soon as some suffering comes, God's fan base has a tendency to dwindle. And that's why God doesn't need any more fans. Instead, he needs some followers. Because being a fan, according to the text, brings about divisiveness or division. For we note in verse 3 of the text, Paul says, "For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk like men?" Simply put, he's saying to them, you are controlled by your sinful nature. You're jealous of one another and you quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like the people of the world? My brothers and sisters, fans can be divisive and bring about division in the church. Typical illustration from the sports world can further reveal to us the divisiveness of being a fan. On one Monday night football preseason game, it featured the New York Giants and the Jets in their brand new shared stadium, which I believe was the first, because I never heard of any two teams having the same stadium. But the fans were divided according to loyalty, because the fans of the Jets wore green and the fans of the Giants wore blue. Now, this was supposed to have been a momentous occasion, something that had never been done, but there was division in the stadium because they had divided loyalties, meaning Giant fans and Jet fans can't stand each other. And so there was division in that shared stadium because of divided loyalty in the fan base. Now, another example can be seen in the fact that in the city of Chicago, Chicago. Sometimes the whole city is divided because, yes, Lord, even an